Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's bow together, O God. In a world that still despises the cross, and in a church in this nation that ignores it, may we see the wonder of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. What is so wonderful about the cross that the songwriters of old wrote songs about the wonder of the cross? It's a horrible thing. It's not gilded. It's not jewelry. It's splintery wood and box-cut nails and blood and gore and flies and heat and thirst. What is possibly so wondrous about the cross that people would embrace the cross? Certainly it comes from no wonder that is in the cross itself. The cross is not wonderful. We have tried to make the cross wonderful. We've covered it with gold. We've shaped it so nicely. We hang it on bangles. The cross is not nice or wonderful in and of itself. The wonder of the cross is what it does. Without the cross, there is no peace with God. That is the problem today. We have raised up a generation of people that believe in their wild imaginations that somehow there is peace between them and God. Never. We have a group of people today that do not know the law. And because they do not know the law, because the Ten Commandments have become the three suggestions, they do not know the terror of how horrible it is to face a true and living God apart from the cross. They do not have a concept. It was interesting because last week at Sunday school, we were looking at the Kirk Cameron video about suffering and how do you explain suffering. And he talked about giving a pitch about the flood to Hollywood producers and showed how little stomach there is for people to face the fact of the judgment of God. It's interesting because as he's doing that, the movie Noah is being released. A movie that never mentions God at all anywhere in it. A movie that's about saving animals and environmentalism. Not about the wrath of God on sin. How do you make Noah appeal to the masses? Just take God out of the equation. But until we face the depth of sin, we will never see the wonder of the cross. Until we see the depth of sin, we will never see the wonder of the cross. That's why it was written so long ago. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we come to see the horror of facing the living God without the cross, suddenly there is a wonder in the cross. The cross is the place of peace. Look with me at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Talks about the depth of sin, and we do not talk about, you do not love salvation if you do not know sin. Beginning at verse 19, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in Him, Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. You see, without the blood, there is no peace between you and I and holy God. The writer of Hebrews says, there is only the looking forward to fearful judgment. Without the shedding of that blood, we don't see that today. We see people in nice neighborhoods, wearing nice clothes, driving nice cars, going to nice jobs as they drop off their kids at nice schools, coming home to a nice takeout dinner from McDonald's. Well, I don't know if that counts, but and the cross doesn't need to be wonderful for any of that to happen. You remember what Jesus said? He said, He told a parable and He said, a man went out into a field and sowed wheat in a field and then went home and said, the planting is done. But while he was there, an enemy came in and sowed weeds among the weed. He sowed a very specific kind of weed. Wasn't dandelions. That biblical word tare is a plant that until the head is formed looks almost identical to wheat. And here you can have a truly blood-bought believer and an absolutely unregenerate sinner, and they live side by side, and everything seems to be the same nice life. Why do I need peace with God God must love me. Look how I am being blessed. The unregenerate do not know that although through this life you may appear to be perfectly content in your relationship with God, one second the other side of this life, there awaits something beyond human imagination. A fearful looking forward to of judgment and fiery vengeance. As we sit here today, how many people during this very hour that I'm speaking pass from this life into eternity and find themselves screaming in the fires of hell, saying, but, Lord! I was an American. We were a Christian nation. I'm a good person. I didn't know! I thought I was okay. How did I get here? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God outside of Christ. Spiritual, I was listening to someone talking today. Well, Noah isn't really a religious movie. It's a spiritual movie. The day is quickly coming when people are going to learn that being spiritual isn't enough. There is one man who is the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. No other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. The reason the gospel is so offensive is not because the gospel says it is a way to God. It is because the gospel says it is the way. And the world looks at that and says, what? You're going to tell me that all the other thousands of ways don't work? Yes. Yes. The wonder of the cross is when I see that there was no way. No hope. No path. Suddenly, there is a way. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in thee. I am the way. Not only does the cross make peace, the cross redeems. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold." You know, here's the sad fact. Most people don't know that. If I give enough money, there isn't enough money in the world to pay for one sin, much less a lifetime of them. "It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life." I was listening to someone the other day, and they were talking about the rise in the acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. And they made this statement. They said, you know, there is all this push about the 20-something in Hollywood or in New York, the hip lifestyle, the at the clubs every day, the lifestyle that seems so glamorous. And he said, you know what is really sad? To go to a mixer for 70-year-old homosexuals. No kids. No future. But that's true of all of us, isn't it? We try to deny it. It was funny because just this week at school, several of the people who are approaching 40 and one of them who's over 40, and the one that was over 40 goes, "Oh man, that crossing 40 just kills you." For some of us, we'd say, yeah, that was the easy part. It's the 50 and the 60 that gets you. Amen? Not to mention the 70 and the 80. But you know, there is something about a point at which, for the world, they can deny it all they want. They can have Botox till they're, you know, like some of them are, their skin's like this. Excuse me, could you close that smile off? I can't move. Oh, Lord. But you know what? You reach a point where life is a downhill path, isn't it? This life doesn't go up and up and up and up. And it doesn't matter what you have. I don't care how many trophies you have on the wall from your accomplishments at sport. I don't care how many billions you have in the bank. How many billion dollars does it take to get rid of that pain in your spine? They don't have it. Doesn't matter what office you held. Ultimately, without Christ, life is empty. I was talking with someone in their 30s who have children, and now they have to face the prospect of writing a will. I don't know how you write a will as an unsaved person. Maybe that's why so many people don't have them. How do you face the fact that I am going off into nothingness instead of I'm going home? What an empty way of life. And we turn up the music. Sing a little louder. Turn up the lights and let the strobes go on. Distract me from the fact that it means nothing. Oh, but by the cross, we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers. by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Oh, what a wondrous cross. It buys me back from that insanity. He who has the most toys wins. Wins what? Wins what? Third of all, the cross is wondrous because it gives us not just peace, not just redemption from an empty life, but it gives us a new beginning. Look a little later in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not by perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. What was the word that was preached to them? The preaching of the cross. To be redeemed from an empty lifestyle. The preaching of the cross gives us new birth. How many people do you know that the entire time they were growing up railed against how they would never be like their parents, but today are just as bad or worse? Locked in a cycle over and over and over again. Repeating ad nauseum the same mistakes again and again and again. Somebody made a statement a while ago. They were saying about how Americans look to their movie idols or TV idols for their opinions. And they made this statement. They were a bodyguard to the stars, so they knew what they were talking about. They'd been with a lot of them. They said, if most people knew the real private lives of the stars, they wouldn't want to be in the same room with them. I assume they know what they're talking about because they've been around them 24/7. Got me to thinking. So I started doing something as I'm sitting working on the computer. Whenever I was watching something, I'd look up the stars. I'd Google the stars and look at their lives. Divorce, 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 4, 5, 6. Keep going, just the same thing over and over and over again. On and on and on it goes. Repeating ad nauseum the same mistakes. We don't need just a little hand. We need a new beginning. We need to be born again. The cross allows us a new birth. That's what Galatians 2:20 is all about. I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. I don't have to go through the same mistakes again and again and again and again. I can have the Christ life. Christ life is the crucified life. I am crucified with Christ. There is no substitute but allowing the cross to affect me. If the cross is ignored in the Christian church, then to the extent it's not ignored, it is Jesus on the cross. It's not the real power of the cross, which is me on that cross with Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. It's not about me anymore. I was talking with a pastor a long time ago, and the pastor said, you have to understand something. Everyone's the hero of their own story. That's our problem, isn't it? There's a word for that. It's called pride. The world revolves around me. The cross allows me to escape from that. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Now, for the unregenerate, there's nothing wonderful about that. The unregenerate says, I want to hold on to my life. You don't look out for number one, who will? Jesus said, if you try to save your life, lose it. I want you to think about something. As you look at the society around us, have people found their lives? I grew up in the 60s. I remember in the 60s, yeah, man, like I'm just trying to find myself. Some of you guys are my age or a little older. Anybody you ever know find themselves looking where the hippies said to look? Now we're the inheritors of them. They're teaching our colleges. And they still haven't found themselves, and they're leading all of us into the path of lostness. Because Jesus said, if you try to find your life, you'll lose yourself. If you lose your life, see, there's the cross. It's not about physical death. The cross. Oh, wondrous cross. Let me ask you, how wondrous is the cross in your eyes? How wondrous is the cross in your eyes? I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Is the cross wondrous? Alas, and did my sovereign my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Until we see depth of our need, we will never see the wonder of God's gift. Let's bow together. Oh God, Lord, Paul saw the wonder of salvation. He saw the power of it, but it did not corrupt him, as it seems salvation or whatever it is that is preached today is corrupting your church. The cross for him was not a cop-out. It wasn't a hideout. It wasn't, I can pretend that I've never sinned and act really nice. He knew his sin till the day he died. In fact, he said, "This is grace, that God sent His Son to die for sinners, of whom I am the worst." Oh Lord, I need to see the cross in all its stark horror, and all the price that was paid, that I might see the wonder of that cross. Lord, I must see my life in the fullness of its sin, in how much I have displeased You. See the wonder of Your grace. I must see the horror of the wrath I have earned, to see the glory of the provision You have made. Oh, wondrous cross. Lord, may I see the cross as wonderful because I see what it did on my behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.